of life begin to blow, don't be alone, for it might be the breath of the Lord sending your ship to the port that you must go, to keep your vessel safe from the storm. Lord, put some wind in my sails. When against my ship the sea of life prevails, when I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my sails. When we yield our best to the Spirit of the Lord, we're made triumphant over every force. When the Master of life's sea is standing at the helm, He'll always keep our vessel on its course. If your ship is lost and you're drifting aimlessly, crashing on the jagged rocks of sin, let me introduce you to the Master of life's sea, who can guide your vessel safe to heaven's strand. Lord, put some wind in my sails. When against my ship the sea of life prevails, when I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my sails. When I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my sails.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rayleigh. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're going to read several verses there and then turn over to Genesis chapter 19 and read a lot more verses. Now, I do not make apology for reading a lot of scripture from time to time. My favorite Bible preacher went home to be with the Lord a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Tom Malone. And he always read a lot of scripture and said, I don't apologize for it because I do it for several reasons. He'd say, number one, I don't have anything to say better than what God says. And number two, I read until I get up enough courage to preach. He's with the Lord tonight, and what a great preacher and a great man of God he was. If you found your place in the book of Genesis, I won't give you a lot of time to try to find that, since it's the first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 13, stand if you will, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1 and read 13 verses, and then turn over to Genesis chapter 19 and read a bunch of verses. All right, the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 13, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. For we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Cana, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, if you will, turn over to Genesis 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house, circled it around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where art the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them unto us, that we may know them. Now that know them has sexual connotations. The Sodomites practice sodomy. And when it talks about that they may know him, it's talking about that devious deed, that devious sin. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fella came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, upon Lot, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand. These are the angels of the Lord. And they put forth their hand and pulled Lot in the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while Lot lingered, The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. We'll leave off reading there, and I want to preach to you tonight about Lot. Title of my message is Lessons from Lot. Lessons from Lot. Heavenly Father, help me this evening to take this terrible story about a Christian that got into the backslidden state, that didn't want to leave the city of sin and had to be taken out of the city by the angels sent to destroy it. Thank you for the wonderful picture of your grace and the eternal security of the believer. Thank you, Father, for teaching us how that before you destroy this old world, at the end time, you're going to deliver out of this world your children, just as you delivered Lot out of Sodom. Thank you, Father, for the lessons we can learn and how they can help our life if we'll but apply them and allow the Holy Spirit to apply them. Now, I need your help tonight. Fill me with thy Spirit. Use me to preach your word, and may it find lodging in the hearts of God's people. And Holy Spirit of God, would you use the message to bring conviction where it's needed and encouragement to the hearts of those that are right to stay right, to guard their step, lest they come to a terrible end such as Lot. Now, Lord, help me as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Lessons from Lot. If ever a person's life in the Bible pictured the average Christian of today, it was the life of Lot. Now, notice I didn't say pictured the normal Christian life, because the average Christian today is much different than what God tells us the normal Christian life is. Someone said that the average Christian today is living such a subnormal life that if a normal Christian came along, we'd think him to be abnormal. I know many church members today whose lives are peculiarly like the life of Lot. They sold their life and their family for gold and worldly gain. Dear friend, there ought to be some things in the life of a Christian not for sale. My home and marriage is not for sale. No matter how much the world offers me, It's not as important to me as my home and my marriage. My children are not for sale. Not for popularity. Not for worldly gain. They're not for sale. My faith is not for sale. When I talk about my faith, I'm talking about that body of truth that God has given us to believe. It's not for sale. My Bible, this old King James Bible, is not for sale. God help the groups of people who think nothing of changing it with their perverted versions that take away from the Word of God and put their copyrights on them so they can make royalties off of every one that's sold. God forbid. My Bible's not for sale. The will of God in my life is not for sale. I'm amazed if I hear God calling me at one time in my life and later on in my life, I slip away from where I used to be for God and go back on that call because I have my eye on worldly things and popularity. I've just sold out to the world. My calling and the will of God for my life is not for sale. What's not for sale in your life? You know, the devil thinks everything's got a price on it. What price do you put on your marriage, your children, your faith, your Bible, the will of God for your life? Lot's life is an example, as I said a moment ago, of the security of the believer. Now, Lot was a saved person. I know that because the Bible tells us in three different places that he was just, calls him just Lot. The Bible calls him righteous Lot twice. He's talking about a saved man. But when you look at his life, he don't look like a saved person. And yet God delivered him before the judgment because he was God's child. Now, that teaches us the eternal security of the believer. Thank God. Thank God that there's nothing the devil and the world and sin can do to undo what Christ has done for me in Jesus Christ. Lot is also a picture of the Christian at the rapture before the tribulation. The angels said, we've got to get you out of here because we cannot do anything to judge these cities until you're out. God will not rain down His judgment upon this old world during the time of the tribulation until the believer's out of here. Thank God He's coming to call us out and deliver us out. But those are not the things I want to preach about tonight. This evening I want to study Lot's life in light of three different aspects. First of all, I want us to consider the legacy of Lot. Secondly, the leanings of Lot. And thirdly, the loss of Lot. Notice, first of all, the legacy of Lot. A legacy is a mark that cannot be removed. It's what one is remembered for. Lot had an outstanding beginning. He was born at the right time and into the right family. He was Abraham's nephew. If any man ever had an opportunity to right wrong and speak truth and follow the Lord, Lot had that opportunity. He was of the royal line of Israel. He was of the lineage from which the prophets came. He was a direct descendant of the father of faith, Abraham. Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Well, I want you to know God expected a lot more and required a lot more of Lot than Lot gave him. By the way, is God getting what He paid for out of your life? Is God getting what He expects from your life and your walk and your Christian service? Lot's life began with a spiritual relationship. He knew what it was to walk by faith in the promise of God. He walked with Abraham, who was the father of faith. He watched his uncle Abraham walk with God by faith 1,500 years before faith would become the common property of every Christian. Lot saw godliness in the life of his uncle Abraham, and early on he knew it in his own life. As I said, the Bible calls him just Lot in 2 Peter 2:7. The Bible calls him righteous Lot twice. That word just Lot means justified Lot. It means he had a right standing before God. Righteous Lot means that God looked down on him as a saved man. He was right in his relationship with God. He had an example of obedience and worship to follow. He had a great legacy. However, the legacy of Lot, the legacy Lot left, those things for which he is remembered must grieve God's heart. You see, Lot is remembered for his greed and compromise with sin until he lived among the Sodomites and lost at least two of his daughters to that society, maybe more, and his sons. His legacy finally comes to its conclusion by Lot's drunken incest with his two youngest daughters. And his incestual act cursed the world with the Ammonites and the Moabite peoples that were hated enemies of God. They hated God and hated the people of God and fought them every step of the way. Many in our church congregations today have a legacy that's akin to that of Lot. They could have been great servants and soldiers for God. They should have been great servants and soldiers for God. However, because of greed and compromise, they moved closer to the world and farther away from God and His Word and His will. What will they be remembered for? Not their service for God, but their life in the world. Their lives also will end up with the loss of their marriages, losing some of their children, if not all, to the world. You can't live like Lot lived and live the lifestyle Lot chose for he and his family and expect to come out unscathed. There is a price to be paid. Bible-believing Baptists have been given much today in the realm of truth from God's Word, and He expects more from us than He expects from the liberal crowd that does not even believe the Word of God. Beware of compromise. Beware of worldliness. Beware of greed. Lot couldn't avoid the judgment that had to be paid, and neither can you. Neither can you. Neither can I. The legacy of Lot. When I think about Lot today, the mark that cannot be removed from his life was his greed and compromise and worldliness and the loss of his family, even though he was a saved man. If Jesus tears his coming 20 or 30 years, and somebody brings your name up, you remember old brother so-and-so? What will they remember about you? Faithfulness? Your stand for God? Your kids, good kids you've raised? Your love for the Lord and His Word and His church? Or will they remember someone that sold their soul, their marriage, and their family for greed and for the world, for compromise? The legacy of Lot. Then notice, if you will, the leanings of Lot. How did Lot lean in his life? I'm not surprised the way Lot fell. You always fall the direction you're leaning. Let's look at the leanings of Lot. To understand the complete story about Lot, we've got to look further into his life and actions. Because no man turns bad because of his birthright. Poverty and slums or castles and wealth are not the forces that drives man to crime and to loss. It was the way Lot leaned in his life that resulted in his outcome. You see, Lot leaned toward the easy life. He saw the good grasslands and the well-watered plains, and this would not only be easier dealing with his herd, it would be more profitable for him. Lot was interested in the ease of life, regardless of where it led him. He was not interested in the fact that the easy way is not always the best way. And the well-watered plains led also to Sodom and the Sodomites. That was not a part of his decision-making, the facts of his decision-making. He was interested in the ease of profit and the ease of gain. Lot leaned toward the bright lights of the big city. And he gave no regard to the terrible sin that thrived there. You know, we've got people right here in this church that's leaning toward those bright lights. The dance halls, the beer joints, the bar rooms, the sports bars. And you think that's where the fun is. That's where the real men and the women go. It's where they fall. That's where they fall. Lot leaned toward the bright lights of the city with no regards to the sin that thrived there. Lot leaned toward the quick dollars of the city with no thought about God's will or what was best for his family. I'm talking about the leanings of Lot. Lot leaned toward the worldly popularity for his children. You listen to me. There, out in the plains, popularity wasn't an issue. But in the bright lights of the city, with the cheerleaders and the ball teams and this elite group and that group, popularity was an issue. And I have no doubt that Lot wanted his girls and his boys to be popular. Sister Lot wanted them to be the cheerleaders. You say, where do you get that? I'm taking some liberties. But he was interested in popularity. Popularity. I hear this all the time. But I want my son or daughter to be popular. At what price? I think we'd be better off wanting them to be pure. Lot leaned toward popularity for his children. He wanted them to be in the in crowd of the big city. But the in crowd was the wrong crowd. Most always is. In crowd was in the terrible sin of that city. Now the Bible talks about sons and daughters. And yet we have no mention of his sons other than this one place. I wonder if they'd gotten caught up in the sin of the Sodomites. How about the sons-in-law and the daughters? They weren't going to leave that city. They had gotten caught up into the sin of the city. Yeah, Lot wanted his family to be in the in crowd. But the in crowd is always out of the will crowd when it comes to God. It was Lot's leaning that made his decision for him, not the Word of God and not the will of God. I said a moment ago, a man always falls the way he's leaning. A tree falls the way it leans. So does a man. They moved into the city and became a part of its process. While Mr. Lot and his family became so popular in that city that Lot either became the mayor or a magistrate in that city. You say, how do you know? Genesis 19:1 said that he was sitting at the gate. That was the position of either the mayor or the magistrates. The greeters of the travelers coming in are the judges. Lot had been successful in becoming popular and accepted in that city. The Bible tells us that Lot, being a Christian, was never comfortable there. He was successful, but he was miserable. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, 6, 7, and 8. The Bible says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." It said that Lot was vexed. He was troubled. He was miserable because of the sins of the wicked. It says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Old brother Lot gained popularity leaning toward the city. He became successful in the eyes of the men, either politically, or he was either mayor or magistrate, but he was miserable. You see, success in the term of the world does not give you peace and happiness and contentment. The fact is, Lot was miserable. And if you're not in the will of God tonight, if you've made decisions that have taken you out of the will of God into the world, you're miserable too. You can't be a Christian living in sin and in the world out of the will of God. If it caused Lot to be concerned, if it caused Lot's soul to be vexed and troubled, it's going to cause you, if you're a Christian. If it doesn't bother you, you better check up on your salvation. Something's big time wrong. Lot never fit in with the worldly crowd and the wicked crowd. And neither do Christians today. You may be as backslidden as a Christian can get, but you're never going to fit in because you belong to God. And the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you, His job is to make you miserable. His job is to convict us. Let us know that we're out of the will of God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Lot was still leaning toward Sodom when the angels came and delivered him out of the city. Look, if you will, in verse 15. "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Look at verse 16. "And while Lot lingered," the angels said, "Get with it and get out of here." And Lot lingered. It's like old Pharaoh saying, "Give me one more night with the frogs. One more night in sin before I have to get out of here." The Holy Spirit of God convicts the hearts of God's people. in church services like this, and instead of getting right, some of you have gone so far as you say, one more week in sin, next Sunday maybe I'll get right. Lot was continuing to lean toward Sodom even when the angels came and drug them out of the city. Then notice, O Lot, I read it to you a moment ago, instead of obeying the word of the Lord coming from the angels, these messengers that were sent to deliver them, Lot's negotiating with them. Instead of accepting what God said, he said, no, I want to do it my way. I don't want to go where he said, I want to go to that other little city, Zoar. Now I promise you there's some people right here tonight listening to my voice. You're so bored tonight. You're nearly out of your mind with boredom because you don't want to hear it. You're in your little world of sin. You've been leaning that way and you've been going that way. And if God spoke to you tonight, you'd try to negotiate terms with God to stay one more night in sin. When the love of the things of this world gets into the heart of a Christian, he becomes addicted to his sin. He does not come out by himself. The angels had to deliver him out of the city. Deliverance from sin's addiction has to come by the mighty hand of God. What will it take in your life before you get right with God and back into His will? Without God's deliverance, there's nothing ahead but judgment to come. Thirdly, let's look at the loss of Lot for a few minutes. The loss of Lot. What did he lose? He made his choices. He made his decisions. He got what he wanted and then lost what he got. The loss of Lot. May I say that one cannot sin without losing? Sin never produces gain in the life of a Christian. Lot was a great sinner and he suffered great loss. He lost at least two daughters who died in the fires of Sodom. At least two. Because we know that because the Bible said sons-in-laws, plural. We don't know how many. But at least two to be plural. If he had sons, they died there too. Maybe they had gone into their sin, into the sin of Sodom. He lost his wife because of her leaning toward Sodom. God was ready to deliver her with Lot, but she had such strong affections and holds for the city and her children that were being destroyed there that she looked back and became a pillar of salt. Only two daughters were saved with Lot. But they were so far away from God, they thought nothing of getting daddy drunk and committing incest with him so they could have offspring. And their offspring became two of the groups of people, tribes of people, that were fierce enemies to the people of God, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Men and women who lean as Lot did always lose. Mark my word, there's someone listening to my voice right now that's about to begin the suffering of a great loss because of the way you've been leaning and the decisions you've been making over the past few years. Lot continued to lose until he had nothing left. Had nothing else to lose. He lost his testimony, his influence for God in that city. When he went to his sons-in-law and daughters to warn them, His testimony was gone. They mocked him instead of listening to him. Oh, my soul, as Christians, our testimony ought to be so that our children respect us enough to listen to us. They mocked their daddy and their father-in-law. They mocked him, the Bible says. The Bible says in 19:14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And why is that true? He had lost his influence. He had lost their respect. His life had been compromised, and they knew it. And when he came to them and started talking about getting right with God, they said, when are you going to get right with God? We're living like you live and like you let us live. It's a shame for mamas and dads to get saved and then never make sure their children get saved. He not only lost his testimony and influence for God in the city, he lost the respect of his own family, he lost his fellowship with godly people. This may seem unimportant to some of you. Some of you think, man, I'd be happy if I never had to go back to church. But oh, my dear friend, if you can be happy and never go to church, you're not a Christian. One of the things we need is fellowship with other Christians. That's the reason God commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He tells us we're to come together and to be faithful, even more fervently as the end time approaches. Lot's soul was vexed because of the wickedness of the people. And there was no other Christians to fellowship with him. No other Christians. He lost the wealth he sought to gain by his unchristlike decisions. By his greed. He lost his wealth. You say, how much of it? All of it. All of it. He lost his family. He lost his joy and peace. Can you imagine Lot? He must have lived out the rest of his life in misery and loneliness and regrets. He probably said, oh, if I just had not. You can finish the statement. Because if something doesn't happen in somebody's life, you're going to be saying that in days to come. Oh, if I had just not. Let me finish. How are you leaning tonight? How are you leaning tonight? You want to know the outcome of your life? How you're going to end up? Just stop and think how you're leaning. You're going to fall in the direction of your leanings. What will your legacy be? What will the mark that cannot be removed be about your life if you continue on like you're currently going? Some of you are already beginning to lose some things because of the direction of your leanings. It may be only the respect of others around you at this time. But there was a time in your life you'd have been so troubled about the loss of respect that you would have already been at the altar weeping for God's help. And God's deliverance. And God's forgiveness. But it doesn't bother you anymore. What's your future? What kind of a future do you and your family have to look forward to? Well, I can tell you. It'll be determined by the direction you're leaning. Three things we've learned about Lot. His legacy. His leanings, and his loss. I don't believe God took great delight in writing this in the Bible about his children. Then why did he do it? He did it for you, and 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 you, and you, and you. He did it for me. So that if we've got half sense, we can learn from their failures and make sure we don't do that. We don't make those dumb mistakes. So we don't have to suffer the consequences they suffered. What kind of future do you have to look forward to? Your family has to look forward to? It'll be determined by the way you're leaning. It won't be anybody else's doing. It's your decision. Father, let us take heed to thy word tonight. Let us take heed to the warnings you put in Scripture as you tell us the story about Lot, his legacy, his leanings, and his loss. And help us to be wise enough to make right decisions lest we become the victim of our own sin as Lot and his family did. Help us, Father, to look at some things and say, these things are above price. They cannot be bought. There's no compromise when it comes to these areas of our life. Oh God, there's such a need for Christians today who love you and walk in your will and walk in your word 7 days a week. Such a need. Raise up that kind of Christians from this congregation. Christians that will honor you. Christians that will have an influence for God. Christians that will make a difference in a wicked world. Christians who will point people toward Jesus. How we need thee. How we ask for your help and your intervention in our life. Help us to be wise enough to see our sin and our leanings before we have to suffer the loss of our foolishness. Help us to get right, come back to you, and preserve those things that really matter. Now, Lord, it may be that there's some here tonight that's unsaved. Would you save them? Graciously reach down and touch them and let them know that they desperately need Jesus. Let this be that wonderful time when they accept you as Savior. Maybe there's some here tonight that need a church home. Would you speak to their heart and let them know they need to be a part of a church that preaches truth, even though it's hard, even though it's plain, even though it reaches down and points out sin in our own life. We need that. We do not need a church that compromises and whitewashes and ignores wrong. Help us, Lord Jesus, if there be people here tonight, and it be your will they become a part of this church, help them to join this very evening. But most of all, Heavenly Father, speak to your children's heart, and let this be checkup time, lest we make the foolish decisions that Lot made, and our leanings toward the world be the means by which we falter and fail in